Welcome to the Gathering at Meadowview with Doug Messer, a church focused on biblical truth through scriptural teaching. I hope you enjoy the message today.
Last several weeks, we've been talking about who this God is. I think it's very important that we do that, that we just stop and we recognize God, who He is, the things that He does, praise that we give to Him, and exercising His work within our lives. And today we're going to continue with that, and we're going to talk about Jesus being the author of life. He's called that in the story that we look at today, the author of life. It's kind of an unusual statement that Peter made talking about the Lord. It came to him right then, and he shared it with some people who were non-believers, and he said, "This Jesus, who you crucified and put on the cross, is the author of life." What does that mean to you and I when we think about that and we think about how God works in our lives? The author of life. And we did talk about that last week a little bit as we talked about creation, but he was talking about something a little bit different. It doesn't matter who we are, where our family came from, our background, our education. Nobody rides for free. And life is hard. It isn't easy. We get drained a lot of times. You know, you have family, friends, you have responsibilities and taking care of a house. I don't know if this happens to you, but bills come in the mail. Do you have bills come in the mail? Bills come. All types of things happen. Vehicles break down. There's places you're supposed to be, places you forgot you were supposed to be. Things happen. And when all these things about life happen, it wears you out. You get tired. You get wore down. Right now, you might shake somebody's hand, or maybe you already did this, and you shake somebody's hand coming in or out of church. And they'll say, "How are you doing?" "I'm just wore out. It was a busy week." You know where it says in the Bible, the day of rest? I'm going home and laying in the recliner. You know, we get wore out in life. It drains us. Then we're Christians, and we're living in this world. And there's certain things God, I think, allows to happen in our life just so that we would find that He's the author of life. And there's a story that we're going to look at that's in the Bible, and it's declared in this story that Jesus is the author of life and that He breathes life into us as believers. There was a little girl in preschool, and her name was Allison. This is a true story I read, and Allison was invited to a birthday party. She's only three. And all these little preschoolers, all these little girls that are in her class, they're having a birthday party for one of Allison's little friends. And so Allison and her mother show up at this house, and there's a cake, and there's presents, and there's little games that they're playing, and all the children are running around in the backyard. And all of a sudden, these big storm clouds start over the tree line, and the wind begins to blow. So the mother of the birthday girl says, "We need to get stuff inside." So all the mothers start grabbing the cake and presents and all the different things and start taking it into the house. And the children are still running around in the yard, and they get everything taken care of. They get the chairs and the tables all inside. And then Allison's mother goes and looks for Allison. She doesn't see Allison. And she goes around the side of the house and doesn't see Allison, goes to the front of the house, doesn't see, comes back and sweeps through the house, checks the bathroom. "Anyone seen Allison?" And then, like you mothers would do, instantly comes to her mind there was some predator in the bushes waiting for his opportunity. Maybe somebody grabbed her, looks all around, everyone's looking. She's yelling to the other mothers, "Help me find Allison, there's a storm coming." And she walks through the neighbor's backyard, and she's looking around, and there was a pool, an in-ground pool. She looks in the water, and Allison is laying in the water face down. She jumped into the pool, grabs this lifeless body, and pulls Allison out of the water, start CPR on her. One of the other mothers was involved in medical care and came over and they were helping. They called 911 and Allison had just meandered over there and fell into this pool apparently. And she's breathing into her daughter and they're doing chest compressions and crying and breathing and crying out for help. Soon they hear sirens coming down the road into the cul-de-sac area where this house was. EMS runs over, oxygen putting on, starts trying to do different things to sustain life. Nobody had a watch and was looking, but more than 10 minutes has passed easily. And you would say there's no way there could be any life, no way that anybody could live. But there's been cases where this has happened. She made it to the hospital. The EMS were able to get her breathing and heart rate was weak. And the doctor met with Allison's mother and her father and said, in this time lapse, oxygen to the brain, she may have brain damage, organ problems, difficulty. She's not stable right now. And we're helping her breathe and we're helping her sustain. Noah, 3 days later, Allison left the hospital. They didn't detect any brain damage. It was kind of like a miracle. And you would say what really saved her life was someone who loved her breathing life into her. This mother breathing life into her baby. We'll find today that that's what God does to you and I. And when we're living life, and sometimes life is really, really hard. Some of the challenges that we face and we endure are other people around us that we love very much, and they're going through in their life. But the Bible talks about Jesus being the author of life. So we start in Acts chapter 3 of a story. And in the story, it's going to share with us that statement that Jesus is the author of life. And then we want to end and we want to say, how do we find him as the author in my life? Because I came to church today and I am very wore out right now. And it's not that there's a big major sin problem going on in my life, but I just don't feel it right now. And that's okay. In our understanding today, you could go to God and say, breathe into me. I want to be able to stand up. I want to be able to have that joy of salvation. I want to be encouraged in my life, and I don't want these things destroying me. I don't want it pulling me down. How can I find the author of life? And just like little Alice and her mother breathing life into her and sustained her life, God does that for you, and he will breathe into you. We're in Acts chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 1. Peter and John, Peter, the disciples of Jesus, this is now post-death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. So this is the establishment of the new church, where the Holy Spirit has come upon the new church, and they're ministering for the Lord, and they're beginning to go out and preach about Christ, and they're going out and sharing the truth. And so Peter and John are hanging out together. And they went to the temple one afternoon to take a part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. So at the temple, we'll just say it, that they're going to church together and they're going to have a prayer meeting at church. And Peter and John are on their way. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in each day. He was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from people going to the temple. This is what happened in this day. There is no social aid services that go on. Family took care of their neglected and hurt and crippled and blind. They took care of it themselves. So what would happen is there's this man who has been lame from birth. It may be a sickness or disease that we could take care of today, but in that day, it may have been through birth or whatever. He's lame. He can't walk. And he's been that way all of his life. And so to help the family with food and bills and different things, He probably had a brother who every day would take him and set him somewhere in the city. And apparently by the beautiful gate was a good place to sit. And he would beg for money. And I know that you've been in the city or town or different places, and you've seen people and they're asking for help, and they'll usually hold a little sign. And he would call out to people and probably shake a cup, and people would come by and put coins in his cup. Then at the end of the day, his brother or whoever took him there every day, carried him there or wheeled him there in some way, they would take him home, and whatever money he was able to collect would help the family. They'd buy food or whatever with the money that he would collect, just as if he was going and working at something. And he would sit by this gate. And this reminds me of Christians like you and I, who the answer for anything we're going through is right next to us. I mean, he could just turn and go into the beautiful gate. There's a temple. And you and I, we can just turn and find out something. What we find out is who Christ is and things that he can do in our life and how we can recognize him as a God in our life. And it's right behind us, the beautiful gate right there. I could just go through. But what happens to me? I don't know if this happens to you. When I get to the place where everything is coming in, I'm not looking too good. I'm not seeing the beautiful gate. I'm not hearing the answers all the time. And it gets heavier and it gets heavier. And sometimes you just want to go hide somewhere, or you just want to get away, or you want to push away because it's just too much. Jesus is the author of life. So here's this lame man begging, and Peter and John are coming through the crowd, and they're going over here, and here's the gate over here, and this man starts shaking his cup, hoping that someone would show him some generosity and give him some aid. Now let's see what happens. When he saw Peter about to enter, Peter and John, he asked them for some money. Could you help me out? Could you help out a poor fellow here? Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, look at us, look up here. And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I got. This is something that God intently teaches you and I as believers. You're not going to find any comfort in anything beside me. What you did is very important to me. At some point in your life, you said, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. You gave yourself to God. And he will not allow anything else to give any aid to us outside of him. In fact, it'll be like running into stuff and you don't get through it. It'll be trying stuff and you're wasting your time. It'll be like spinning your wheels and not getting out of the mud. You're not going to find it. And really, it's like that with anybody on earth. I mean, lots of people try finding things to relieve some of this pressure. You know, okay, it's time to go on a vacation. I don't know about you. I've never gone on a vacation where when you came home, you say, wow, I am rested now. Never. I mean, when you go on vacation, you got to be extremely busy. Okay, it's 6 o'clock. Let's get up. We have to be over here. We got to do this. And that didn't work. You know, and suppose that you won the lottery. You've been praying that God would bless you to be in the lottery and win. And you did win. Then all of a sudden you found out that everybody who knows you needs a loan now. And everybody around you is taking and all this, and there's pressures. And did you know you owe half of it into taxes? You're in the 50% bracket now. And so all of a sudden problems are, that wasn't the answer. No, it doesn't seem like anything is the answer, but you keep trying. You remember in our country, we said the pursuit of happiness, because you're going to keep chasing it. You're never going to find it. And so Peter and John were very honest. You know, we followed Jesus for the last 3 years. We don't have two pennies to rub together, okay? You know, I mean, he fed us fish and bread and stuff, but we don't have any silver or gold. But we do have something we can give you. And we've seen this work many times. And he answers our prayer. And we believe. And so Peter and John say to this crippled man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What? We used to sing that in church. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Anyone walking and leaping and praising God. There's a little chorus we used to sing, and I remember that. And so they said, get up in the name of Jesus. Wouldn't that be better than silver or gold? That for the first time in your life, you can stand up? I mean, he's never done that. His legs would fall. I bet you there were probably times he thought in his own mind, you know, maybe if I try really hard, I can put some pressure on my legs and stand. Nobody's around. He's in the living room of his house. He pushes him. He has strong arms because he has nothing else. And he pushes himself up and he gets his legs underneath him. And then he lets go of a chair and on the floor. They just don't work. There's no muscle. There's nothing there. They turn to the side and he falls and his face is on the floor and he feels defeated. I'm never, ever going to walk. I'm never going to be able to make it. I'm not going to be like those little kids who are running down the street right now. I'm not going to even be like that old man who has a stick that he walks with and he leans on. I'd love to walk even like that. I'm never going to be like that. There is no hope for me at all. And suppose my brother gets married and moves away. Suppose I'm left all by myself. How will I get? Will I have to drag myself around? No hope at all. Again, as Christians, we sometimes come to that place in our life. Maybe it's just a fleeting moment. Maybe it's a day. Sometimes it's a week. Sometimes it could be months. And I've talked to people who for years, they're in this place and it just kind of got washed away. It moved away from them. And they need life again. Just like a loving mother would breathe into Allison, we need to be breathed into. And is that possible? Is it possible for the creator of the universe to breathe into me? And know this too. If you're a believer and God has been speaking to you about something, maybe there's something you're doing and it's really hurting your health. And you say, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do that anymore. Or there's something that you're doing and you know that it isn't something that pleases God, but you've been doing it for a long time and you decide, I'm confessing it. It's gone. I'm leaving that. It's gone. I will guarantee you of something. There's now an empty spot in you. Because that was kind of filling up that empty spot. And it was kind of maybe making you so you could cope with some kind of things or helped you think you were. And now there's this empty spot because you have given it away. I need something to put back into that spot. And until you do, you feel a little empty and you think to yourself, well, I'm trying to live righteous and do the right thing, but why am I feeling like I'm feeling? Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. So the first thing that we would think about when we're thinking about God breathing life into me is that the answer is right around the corner, the beautiful gate, God's presence in my life. The next thing that I would think about in my life that I would want to initiate into my life is that there is no hope, but I have hope in him. And it's also an element of faith. He's believing it. I mean, Peter did stick out his hand and help the man stand up. But you know what I would have probably said? I'd say, do you not see these legs? You want me to stand? I can't stand. I've never been able to stand. That's what I'd probably say, you know, or could you give me some crutches and I'll try? I would probably make some kind of excuse. I don't know if you would, but it says he just stuck out his hand and Peter just said, get up. And he believed it. On Wednesday, we did a Bible study this last week about faith. And faith is like believing things that we know about God, like he's creator, he's God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he's a forgiver of sin. Things that we know about God, that's part of faith. Another part of faith is that God said something in the Bible, and I believe what he said, and I act that out in my life because I say, you said in your word that if I trust in you, you will lead my path. So I'm trusting in you, and I'm believing you're going to do that. That's faith. So not only is it knowing things about God and believing it, it's acting out. And then there was another thing about walking in faith. That means I have a do list for the beginning of the day of all the things I need to get done. And by faith, if God alters that, I believe that he's making a change to my plans and he's leading in a different direction. And I'm willing to do that. Even though I had plans, I'm following after him. I'm walking by faith. So another part in this whole thing of God breathing life into us is that we act in faith. Okay, God, I'm reading your word and you're saying things in the Bible. And I'm going to believe what you said, and I'm going to hold to that. I can remember years ago when I was first a pastor, it had been raining a whole lot, and we were renting a little building about the size of this sanctuary. It was a little storefront in Franklin, North Carolina, and water ran down the bank and ran into the church, and we were standing in about 2 inches of water. And you know me well. We don't cancel church for anything. So we had church anyhow while we're standing there. And there was only probably about 12 people. And I was preaching from Galatians chapter 6. And it said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 that if we don't falter, if we continue on, we will reap a harvest. And so I told all the people there, let's just hold hands. And let's just believe that if we don't give up, God is going to bless. And then somebody made me that verse and put it in a little picture frame, and I kept it. And I thought about that all the time. If you don't give up, you will reap a harvest. That was by faith that we were doing that. And over the years, God blessed in awesome ways. And things he did was unbelievable. And properties and people and services. And God did all of that. No one else did that, but he said, just don't give up. What is it God is telling you that he wants you to do? And by faith, you're going to do it, and he's going to bless in it. He's going to take care of you in it. He's going to carry out what he said he would do. And I don't really think he can breathe life much into us if we don't in some way act in faith. In fact, it's impossible to please God if we don't act in faith. So here's this guy. And stand up. Come on. All right. And, at 65 years old, my knee would probably hurt a little bit. It says he leaped up. And look at this. Let's read on. He jumped up in verse 8, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Okay, this is something else that we do that breathes life into us. This is kind of risky to do because you might all just stare at me. But we started doing this on Wednesdays, and we would give praise to God for something that he has done. When we do this, whether individually or corporately together, all of a sudden it's like, whew, breath came into you. It kind of like gives encouragement to you. You begin to see God. One of the people in our early service said, I'm thankful that I can see God every day working in my life. Wow, that's pretty amazing that we can see him working around our life. And by recognizing it, it breathes life into me. I'm able to live in this world. I'm able to be more than a conqueror, as Paul said. I'm able to run when I was just stumbling. I can run now. Because I'm seeing God work in our life. So right now, we just stop with all this and we say, is there anything God's done in anybody's life? And you just want to say very quickly, he's done this. He answered this prayer. He kept the tree from falling on my house. Anybody? Has God done anything at all and you'd like to thank him? Anyone? Amen. Awesome lady. Good to see you both here. And the bread was good last week, right? Fantastic bread. Okay. All right. Okay.
I prayed for rain, but only one day of it.
Oh, okay.
The rest of it, I didn't fall.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Any thanks to the Lord? Anything he's done? Anybody? Any praise to him?
My family.
Your family? Okay. Anyone else?
I said a lot, but he's going to be.
Amen. Dalton?
Oh, it's good and hurt. Keeps me alive.
You know what? How long ago was it, Dalton, when you were in the hospital? Yeah. And when you had the heart attack? Yeah. They airlifted him. They didn't airlift him. Dalton wouldn't be here in church today. And I remember going in intensive care and seeing him there. We prayed together, and God has been working in his life, answers to prayer, and we're thankful for that. We praise God for it. Amen. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Has God done anything in your life and you'd like to thank him? Anyone? Amen. All right. So when we get...
Not the terrible condition that our daughter had, that she was born, it's been away from her to me as well, or to check, and she had a pulmonary stenosis since she was the beginning. The doctor said, you know, couldn't explain it.
Amen. God worked. Amen. Why? Amen. So giving praise to God, we thank him. And what it causes us to do is it causes us to see God. I wasn't seeing him when all the junk was happening. But when I begin to praise, I begin to open my eyes and see God move around and him working. So this man, what did he do? It said he went walking and leaping and praising God. So he was going to everybody, I couldn't walk. Look at the muscles in these legs now. And I can jump. I've never jumped in my whole life. And I instantly can jump and leaping and praising. Then what happened? Let's see what else happened. Look at these verses as we continue. All the people saw him in verse 9, walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was a lame beggar they had seen often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astonished. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity. So Peter's going to give a little message here. And these were a bunch of people who were not believers in Jesus Christ. And he addressed the crowd. People of Israel! And they all turned and looked. What is so surprising about what's just happened? This isn't a big deal. And why are you staring at us as though we made this man walk? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors who brought the glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate. Uh-oh, he's kind of nailing them, isn't he? Do you remember it wasn't too long ago, like 40-some days ago, and you guys were all the people who rejected Jesus in front of Barnabas standing up there, and Pilate said, I don't find any fault in this man, and you all cried out, crucify him. In fact, Pilate said, I don't want the blood on me, and you all said, put it on us. We'll be responsible for it. And then he continues on, the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life. What was his name? The author of life. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses to that fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Wow. So this crowd heard about the author of life, Jesus. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, created the world. And man was formed. I know it sounds unbelievable, but that's how the Bible says, and we believe it. He formed dirt, made the form of a man. Then God reached down and breathed into him, just like you would CPR, breathed in him. And all of a sudden, this chest goes, and a man stood up and began to walk. In 2024, you children of God, knowledgeable of God, experiencing God in your life, you are in the same place. At times in our life, our breath is gone. We don't feel like moving on. We don't sense certain things. We kind of are depleted because we've been given so much and going through so much. And we come to this place and we say, I need you to breathe in me. That's my worship of you, that you breathe in me. My glorifying of you is that you breathe into me. I can't do this. I can't make it. I'm not doing good. I need you to breathe into my life. And the way that that happens is by giving praise to God. Start thanking him. Start writing it down. You know, it used to be an old hymn in church, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Write it down. Write down all the things that he does in your life, that you see him, and you go back and say, I saw you, I saw you, I saw you. I saw you heal a daughter. I saw you do this, raise me up from a hospital bed. I saw you do these different things. I thank you, God, that you are alive. I'm starting to breathe a little bit. Then I have faith. I'm going through something in my life, and there's a verse I read in the Bible in a daily devotion that I was reading yesterday, and I apply it to my life, and I believe that he can do that. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay, God, I'm finding strength in you and your power, and I'm believing that you will give me strength to be able to make it. Thank you. And we take in God some into our life. And then we recognize his movement in this world. We recognize that right next to us is the answer, and we read it, and we get it from a relationship with him. There it is. So how do I start? I find that place with God even today. And I go to him and I say, in the weariness of life, I want to be more than a conqueror in you. You say that I can. You tell me in Hebrews chapter 12 that I can run. Right now, I'm not even walking. I want to run. I want to have strength in my life. I want you to strengthen my legs. I want you to give me words to say. I want to feel your presence. It says in Galatians that we're to be being filled with the Spirit of God. Just keep coming into me. And I want to be a voice for you. I will be a voice for you. Breathe into me. Give me that joy again. So you find a place alone. You go to God and you tell him that. Ask him to do that in your life. Practice what this lame man did. He exercised that faith. He saw God around him. He had the answer right next to him. He stood up. He started praising God. And he was not silent in it at all. He told people what God had done. And you declared it even today as we came together. Pretty awesome, isn't it? So I can have life in my life. And the author of life is the one who I asked into my life. And then, you know what? I've told you this lots of times. God invented the internet before the internet. Everything intertwines. So when he said, I am the bread of what? I'm the bread of life. To a woman at the well, I am the living water. He already said it. Oh, then John quoted him in John 14, and he said, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the... He's the author of it. He wrote it. He wrote the book about life. Here it is. Take in his life. Let him work in you.
Thank you for listening. Join us here in person at the Gathering in Meadowview in Rogersville, Tennessee, or join us next week right here on the Dig Bible Podcast.